About this? Yes.
We're going to read in Rabash Essays, Volume 2 of Rabash, page 521, The Matter of Happiness, about happiness. We're starting in the middle of the article, in the middle of page 521, it turns out.
הנברא, תכף מצד בריאתו,
As soon as the creature is created, he consists of two opposites. One, vessels of reception. Two, vessels of bestowal. There is no greater oppositeness than this. These two opposites come in one carrier, but one at a time. And it seems as though there is a middle line that contains both of them. One, the will to receive. Two, the will to bestow. The middle line contains both of them, when the will to receive is included in the will to bestow, called receiving in order to bestow. It follows that the two forces are included in this middle line, meaning reception and bestowal together. Accordingly, the answer to our question, how can there be in man's work complete wholeness and deficiency in utter lowliness in the same carrier? Is that this can be in two times? That is, one needs to divide the order of one's work into two ways. One way will be on the path of right, called wholeness. This is so because when one begins to turn, one should first turn to the right, called wholeness, and then to the left. It is so because man can walk specifically on two legs, whereas on one leg you cannot speak of walking. Right means wholeness, because when one comes to take upon himself the work of the Creator, the order is that one should assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. The ox refers to the mind, called ox from the verse, "Let the ox know its owner," referring to faith above reason. A donkey refers to the heart, called donkey as in, and a donkey, its master's crib, referring to self-love. Therefore, when saying to work in order to bestow contentment upon one's maker, he regards it as a load, and he always wants to throw off his shoulders. He's always searching what he can eat from this work, meaning what pleasure his will to receive might derive. When he takes upon himself this work, he says, "I should see for myself," meaning always check if I am not deceiving myself, that I am on the right path, that it is the proper one, meaning keeping Torah and mitzvot because of the commandment of the Creator, and not for any other reasons. However, I am keeping the words of our sages who said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even if lo lishma, not for her sake, since from lo lishma he will come to lishma, for her sake. Thus, why should I think whether I am keeping Torah and mitzvot with all the intentions, so that everything will be for the Creator? However, I have a great privilege that the Creator has given me a thought and desire to keep something in Torah and mitzvot. According to the rule, with something important, we do not regard the quantity, but quality. Rather, even if it is a small amount, if the quality is what matters, even something small of high quality is very important. For this reason, the Creator has commanded us through Moses to keep Torah and mitzvot. I do not care how much I can keep it. Rather, even if I have the worst and the foulest intentions, in the act, I do observe as much as my body permits. And although I'm incapable of overcoming the desires of the body, I'm still glad that at least I have the strength to keep the commandments of the Creator in some way, because I believe that everything comes by providence. That is, the Creator has given me the desire and strength to observe Torah and Mitzvot. And I thank Him for this, because I see that not everyone have been given this privilege of observing the Mitzvot of the Creator. He should say that he cannot even value the greatness and importance of keeping the Creator's commandment, even without any intention. We can compare it to a child who does not want to eat, who derives no pleasure from eating. So the parents force the child to eat whatever he wants, whether he wants or not. And although the child has no pleasure, in the end, even by coercion, it helps the child as well, so he can live and grow. However, it would certainly be better if the child wanted to eat by himself, meaning if he enjoyed the food. But even without pleasure and completely by coercion, it still benefits the child. We should also say likewise in serving the Creator. Even if we keep the Torah and Mitzvot by coercion, meaning we force ourselves to keep, and our bodies resist anything that is of Kedusha, of holiness. Still, the act he performs does its thing, and by this he can come to a state where he has a desire to observe. At that time, all the things he did are not in vain. Rather, everything he did enters Kedusha. We can interpret this with what our sages said about the verse, "He will sacrifice it before the Lord according to His will." Our sages said, "will sacrifice it" indicates that he is forced. But it is written, "according to His will." How is this so? He is forced until he says, "I want." This means that the words "before the Lord according to His will" bewildered our sages. It means that everything he does with regard to bringing himself closer to the Creator is not regarded as an act if he does not want it to work for the Creator, which is called according to the Lord's will. Instead, this man is incapable of doing things to benefit the Creator, which means that his deeds are worthless, as though he has not done anything, because they're still not according to the Creator's will. However, it is written, "He will sacrifice it." This means that he is forced, meaning even by coercion. That is, when he does not want to work for the Creator, it is still called sacrifice. But this is perplexing. Since he does not want to sacrifice the offering to the Creator, so the beginning of the verse contradicts its end. They said about this, "He is forced until he says, 'I want.'" That is, this follows the rule that our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and Mitzvot even in Lolishma, since from lo lishma, he comes to lishma. This means that by subjugating himself each time, although the body does not agree to work for the Creator, because where he does not see self-gratification, he cannot do a thing. Still, he does not notice the body's complaints, and says to his body, "Know that even by force, you are doing a Creator's commandment. It will not help you to resist the work. It is said that practical mitzvot have the power to bring one to Lishma. This is the meaning of he is forced, meaning that he is forcing himself, and he does not listen to any logic or reason that the body tries to explain to him, but tells him, in the end, he will achieve Lishma. This is the meaning of until he says, I want. That is, from lo lishma, we come to lishma, which is called I want. Therefore, each time he remembers, while performing some act of kedusha, great joy immediately awakens in him that he was rewarded with having some contact with matters that the Creator commanded him to do. Although he knows that everything he does is lo lishma, he is still profoundly happy, since our sages have promised us that from lo lishma we come to lishma. He is even happier, because our sages said, he who repents from love, sins become for him as merits, and he who repents from fear, sins become for him as mistakes. It follows that when he is rewarded with working lishma, all the mitzvot he had performed lo lishma will enter kedusha and will be as important as though he had performed them lishma. Thus, even while he is still working in lo lishma, it is as important to him as though he is working lishma. That is, he thinks that everything he does is certainly more important than sins and are bound to be corrected into being good. And he regards everything he does, even the smallest thing, as a great mitzvah. As our sages said, be careful with a lesser commandment as with a greater one, for you do not know the reward of the commandments. For this reason, when he calculates the works he is doing, whose mitzvot he is observing, and when he says some words of Torah, he tells himself, whose Torah am I learning? And when he blesses for pleasure, such as before drinking or before eating bread, he thinks, to whom am I speaking now? It turns out that then he is in utter wholeness, and that wholeness begets joy, because at that time he is adhered to the Creator, just as he assumes that he is speaking to the Creator, who is good and does good. Naturally, he receives joy from the root, for the root of all the creations is the Creator, who is called the good, who does good. Our sages said, good to him and does good to others. This means that at that time he can believe that the Creator is doing good to him and to everyone. This means that then he can believe above reason that this is really so, even though he concludes with his external intellect that he does not yet see the good in completeness. But now, through the calculations he does with the work in the Torah and mitzvot, when he is somewhat adhered to some extent to the Creator, he has the power to believe above reason that this is really so. Naturally, truth will show its way. The result of his thinking that now he is speaking to the Creator is a great awakening of joy. As it is written, majesty and splendor before him, strength and joy are in his place. We should understand in relation to whom it was said that there is joy in his place. Certainly all the names we mention are from the perspective of the creatures. Meaning, according to the perception of the creatures. However, in the Creator Himself, our sages said, there is no thought or perception in Him at all. Rather, everything is said only about the perspective of the creatures. Therefore, this means that those who feel that they are standing before Him feel majesty and splendor, as well as those who think that they are standing in His place, since place means equivalence of form. But there is another meaning, that interest is a mirror. As I heard from Bala Sulam, that in the place one thinks, there one is. Thus, if a person thinks that he is standing and speaking with a king, then he is in the place where the king is present. And then he feels, as it is written, strength and joy are in his place. By this we can understand what we asked about what our sages said. From the beginning of Adar, we increase joy. We asked, why increase joy? That is, joy is a result of some reason. So, what is the reason that could evoke the reason to bring us joy? According to the above, it pertains to increasing advancement on the right line, called wholeness. When a person is in a state of wholeness, it is called equivalence. That is, the whole, which is the man, is now adhered to the whole, as it is written, the blessed adhere to the blessed, and the cursed does not adhere to the blessed. Therefore, if one is in a state of criticism called left line, he is in a state of cursed. Then he is separated from the whole. For this reason, at that time he can feel only darkness, not light. For only light brings joy. However, we should understand why specifically on the month of Adar we should increase joy. And why can't we be on the way of the right all year long? We should reply to this, that since the miracle of Purim was on the month of Adar, which the light of the end of correction illuminated, as it is written in the Gate of Intentions, therefore, in the future, all the holy days will be cancelled but the scroll of Esther. The reason is that there has never been such a great miracle, not on any Shabbat or on any good day. For this reason, the preparation for such a great light should be joy, which is the preparation to greet an esteemed guest, which is the light of the end of correction. Hence, by preparing through increasing joy, we extend the light called the days of feast and merriment. This follows the rule that is written in the Holy Zohar. The act below awakens the act above. That is, according to the work of the lower ones, the work above awakens. This means that when the lower ones engage in joy, in the same manner they extend light of joy downwards. As it is written, and Mordechai wrote to oblige them, on those days when the Jews rid themselves of their enemies, and it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and rejoicing, by which they will extend the light of the end of correction that illuminated them. We should discern concerning the extension of joy. We said that the reason for this is that at that time a person thanks the Creator for bringing him so closer. It follows that when he gives thanks, he engages in bestowal because he thanks and praises the Creator for giving him a thought and desire to have some contact with spirituality. But now, he does not want the Creator to give him anything. Therefore, he is not asking anything from the Creator, and now his only aim is to give thanks to the Creator. It follows that now he has dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, because he is engaging in bestowal. Thus, by this, joy and wholeness are drawn to him from the dvekut, because now he is adhered to the Whole One. This is the meaning of increasing joy by this. This is not so when he engages in litany, for a prayer that is from the bottom of the heart is full of deficiencies, since to the extent of the sensation of the lack, so is his prayer deeper. It follows that then he cannot be happy. Thus, the reason for the gladness is when he engages in praise and gratitude, and not when he engages in examining deficiencies. Thus far.